We're in eighth grade. Now, in the New York City school system, ninth grade meant you went on... No, we're in ninth grade. Tenth grade, you go on to high school. We were in ninth grade. We were 9B4. There was only 9B1, 9B2, 9B3, and 9B4. In 9B4 were what you would call the incorrigibles. We were there, all of us. A lot of these guys turned out pretty good today. From that class has come a multi-zillionaire, Herbie Cohen, is going to be one of our guests soon. Brazzi Abadi, a brain surgeon in Buffalo, New York. A major stockbroker in Chicago, Illinois. And a couple guys in Sing Sing. And no, it was a nice class. 9B4. We were 9B4. I was in that class. Now, one of the guys in that class was a guy named Gil Mermelstein. We called him Gil Mopo because his hair was like a mop. You know, it was all curled up. We used to call him. His name was Mopo. One day, Gil Mopo does not come to school. So Herbie Cohen, a zillionaire in Chicago, he lives in a suburb of Chicago where the police department's phone is unlisted. I don't want to say it's hip. Forget it. They do not have a phone book for that suburb. And Herbie Cohen, he now is a sales advisor, whatever he is, has a private plane. And Brazzi Abadi is now a brain surgeon in Buffalo, and myself. Herbie, Brazzi, and myself go over to Gil Mopo's house to inquire as to why Gil Mopo was not in school that day. We get to Gil Mopo's house, and Gil Mopo's cousin is sitting in front of his house. The shades are drawn, and Gil Mopo's cousin sitting there looking forlorn. And Herbie said, hey, Gil Mopo's cousin, why are you sitting here looking forlorn? And he said, well, Gil Mopo developed tuberculosis. And Gil's father had retired. Mopo's father had retired from business. So the father and the mother had taken Mopo to Phoenix, Arizona for the cure. Now, this was like April. No, March. March. They've taken Mopo out to Arizona. I'm staying here. I'm going to go out there tomorrow. I'm going to go to school tomorrow to tell him what happened to Mopo and to transfer his records on to Lafayette High School because naturally Mopo won't be back in junior high school. And naturally they're going to graduate him because he got tuberculosis. So Herbie says, hey, cousin, leave tonight. We'll tell him. So the cousin said, would you do that for me? He says, sure, go ahead. So he takes off. Now, Herbie, Brazzi, and I are walking back to the corner. On every street in Brooklyn, there is a corner. Our corner was at 86th Street and Bay Parkway. It's where guys hung out. Sandy Koufax used to hang around there. Sandy's a nice guy now, and he used to take hubcaps off moving cars. Whew, tough. Anyway, we walk to the corner. As we're walking, Herbie says, I have an idea that could make us $5 apiece to go to Nathan's. Nathan's a very popular hot dog place about 6 minutes away. Brazzi says, what's your idea? He says, here's what we do. We go into class tomorrow, and we tell them that Gil Mopo died. They're going to call the house. No answer. Disconnect. Mopo's in Phoenix. No one knows he's in Phoenix, but Mopo's mother and father, who are in Phoenix with him, and Mopo's cousin, who's on his way. There's no way to check. We raise money in a class for flowers. We take the money and glom down to Nathan's. $5 each will raise $15. 50 cents apiece, 30 kids in a class. It can't fail. Brazzi says, it can't fail. What happens? Well, they'll forget about it. By then, he'll be in high school. Who'll know? $15. What the hell? So we go into class the next day, and we went up to our teacher. Never forget her. Mrs. Dewar, D-E-W-A-R. Tall, slim, wore a wig. We know she wore a wig because we took it off one day, and I never saw a bald woman in my life. But anyway, okay. We go in, we say, Mrs. Dewar, we got our heads down, we really look sad. I mean, man, we look sad. Me, Brazzi, and Herbie, we say, Gil Mopo died. This is a true story. Every word of this is true. We say, Gil Mopo died. So she says, he died, huh? So she goes down to tell the office. The office calls Gil Mopo's house. The operator comes on and says the phone has been disconnected, and in New York City school system, they wrote deceased across Mopo's card. Deceased. Accepted our word. We raised $15, went down to Nathan's, had a ball, gorged ourselves. Whap! We think it's end of story. 2 weeks later, Dr. Irving Cohen, principal of Junior High School 128, asks to see the three of us. Now we're a little panicked. You know, they found out somewhere. We're going down to Dr. Cohen's office. Herbie says, don't worry. We'll say that we heard he died. We sent the flowers to charity. We'll give the money back. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. We get in the office. We expect a panic scene. Instead, Dr. Cohen is smiling. He says, welcome, young lads. Hello, Herbert. Hello, Lawrence. Hello, Brazzi. Please sit down. Holy, what's going on? And he says, young gentlemen, I want to tell you something. They started a new thing in the junior high schools of New York City. The thought is that junior high schools do not have an image. High schools have all the image because they play interscholastic football and they have nicknames. Junior high schools have no image. And in cooperation with the New York Times, Each junior high school in the city of New York is going to have a project, and the New York Times is going to do a series of stories on the projects. And we had a meeting today, a faculty meeting, which, as we determined later, had to be the mentally retarded society. They had a faculty meeting, and we decided, we heard about what you three wonderful young men did for your late friend, Gil Mermelstein, in raising money for flowers. We are going to start at Junior High School 128, the Gil Mermelstein Memorial Award. We're going to have a large plaque in honor of the late Gil Mermelstein, and each year we're going to honor a senior with the Gil Mermelstein Memorial Trophy in memory of your late friend. Now, right there and then, we should have told him the truth. As I reflect back, that was the moment to say, Doc, but we didn't. You know, we're carried away with the ego of the emotion of the moment. We're now in good favor with head man. So back we go. They're going to have a special assembly 2 weeks before graduation to honor the Gil Mermelstein Memorial Award. The initial recipient will receive the award. The New York Times will cover the festivities, and the entire school will be in our spacious auditorium, which harbors on 84th Street and is also the left side of the punchball court. It is now the morning of the Gil Mermelstein Memorial Assembly. Herbie Brazzi and I are asked to wear our best suits because we're going to sit on the stage with Dr. Cohen, New York Times guys in the front row, photographers there. Herbie Brazzi and I are on the stage, facing the podium. To our right is this huge, huge plaque. And behind us is a banner across the entire back wall, Gil Mermelstein Memorial Assembly. That day, that very day, Mapo came back to school. He made what has been called in Phoenix tubercular stories the most dramatic recovery. Came back that day, but he came a little late. When Mapo arrived in school, everyone was in the assembly. Mapo stuck his head in the office and says, "Where is everybody?" He said, "Go down to the assembly." Mapo goes down to the assembly. Now, Dr. Cohen is reading a tribute to the late Gil Mermelstein. His three friends are on stage in our full suits, ties. The Gil Mermelstein Memorial Assembly plaque is up to sign. There are two ways to go into the auditorium. One was through the side, which is through curtains. One was through the back, two big brass doors. Mapo chooses the back. Now, all this happened in a flash, but what happened, happened. Mapo begins to open the door. As he opens the door, the first thing Mapo has to see is his name, Gil Mermelstein, up in lights. The second thing he has to see is the word memorial. Now, you don't have to be too dumb to know what that means. The kids in the back row spot Mapo. Now, we were New York kids, right? This is hip. Right away, they know the whole bit. Know the whole thing. Herbie, Larry, and Brazzi glommed to death, and they glommed us for 15 beans, and Mapo's alive. Now, the laughter starts to spring down through the auditorium. Dr. Cohen, who doesn't know Gil Mermelstein from apples, looks up. He's got his glass on. He looks up. Mapo is totally panicked. We don't know what to do. We see Mapo. Dr. Cohen is asking, "Who is that?" You know, the audience is in a panic. Half the audience is laughing. Herbie Cohen stood up on stage and said the funniest line I have ever heard in school. He yelled, "Mapo, go home, you're dead!" Mapo slams the door and runs home, his hair straightening out along the way. Now, there's a total panic in the whole auditorium. Guys are laughing. The New York Times guy's on the floor. On the floor, this reporter can't control himself laughing so much. Dr. Cohen is ticked. He's ticked. He looks at the three of us and said, "Come to my office immediately," in a rage, and he storms off the stage in a place in a panic. Brazzi Abadi is saying, "I could have been a brain surgeon. I could have been a brain surgeon. I'm going to die for life." Now, Herbie saying, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. We'll handle it. Don't worry." We go into his office. We bring the New York Times reporter along, who can't believe it. He's walking along in the hall saying, "You guys faked that death. You faked that death?" And the guy comes back on the day. Now, Mapo is home now with his hair straightened out. His mother don't recognize him. Mapo don't know what has happened. Why is there a Mapo memorial service? And what is going on? We're now in the office. I think I can paraphrase Dr. Irving Cohen pretty correctly. He looked at the three of us and he said, "The three of you are suspended from school for life. It is also recommended you be sent to Rikers Island, where we put you at hard labor until you're 18, at which time we have no further control over you, but we're going to have you for 4 years. You have pulled the most dastardly act I have ever seen in a schoolroom." And Herbie Cohen said, Wait a minute, Doc. You're making a big mistake for you. Dr. Cohn says, what'd you say? He says, Doc, let's talk this out. You're really going to kill yourself if you do this. So Dr. Cohn says, what do you mean? Herbie says, well, now listen. If you suspend us, there automatically is in New York a hearing for the Board of Education. That's automatic. At the hearing, oh, we're going to get racked. We're going to get suspended because we did a bad thing. But one of the things that the Board of Education is going to ask you is, you took the word of three degenerate nincompoops who said that a guy was dead. You made one phone call to the house. They said it was disconnected, and you wrote deceased on the card? He says, Doc, we may be suspended. You're out of work. He says, now, why don't we make a deal? Why don't we forget the whole thing and ask the New York Times guy not to print it? Now, Dr. Cohen is just sitting there, a hulk of his former self. Whipped. He knows he's in big trouble. The New York Times guy says, well, he says, guys, I'm not going to print it because I don't think they'll believe it down at the office, and we're not going to print it. So the Times guy had agreed not to print it. Dr. Cohen agreed not to suspend us. We went later in the day to explain it to Mappo, who, by the way, it is now. 28 years later, Mappo still don't understand this. How could you say I was... And anyway, Mappo, don't worry. Mappo, we went to Nathan's, Mappo. It is now the end of the story. Graduation day. This is true. You couldn't have faked this. Graduation day, 9B4 is lined up to graduate, and Dr. Cohen is standing on stage giving out the diplomas, and Mappo happens to be right in front of Herbie Cohen. And they're walking down, and, you know, he's reading off the names. And he gets to Gil Mermelstein's name to hand him his diploma. He says, Gil Mermelstein. Herbie pushes Gil aside and says, I'll take it, Dr. Cohen. He's dead.